We're in Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. And we're going to pick it up in verse 22. Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. Moses has been up on Mount Sinai. Okay? Not Sinide, but Sinai. Okay? Moses has been up on Mount Sinai for close to 40 years, for 40 days. I know just because it's taken me 40 years to go through this. It looks like that. He's been receiving instructions on how to build all the various parts of this portable worship center that we call the tabernacle. We've been looking at all the various parts, pieces, and stuff of this thing called the tabernacle. And we have been learning that there's reasons why all this stuff is recorded. Because these things, we're told in the book of Hebrews, are shadows of something to come. There's lessons in all this stuff. We find principles of how God wants to be related to. We find out principles of how we're supposed to act in God's presence and all. And so there's some really cool stuff in these chapters, even though at first it's kind of odd, like, why is he looking at this today? Well, because we believe that there's value in all of the Bible, and we want to learn from the Scriptures. We want to learn more about God. Verse 22, we're going to talk about the anointing oil and the incense. The holy anointing oil, that's what Robin says. He says, holy anointing oil, Batman. Okay, maybe not. Verse 22, moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. It's like a gallon of olive oil. Don't think of a hint of olive oil. It's a hin of olive oil. And then you're going to make this thing, this holy anointing oil. Anointing oil, that's stuff that you put on people. To anoint somebody means to smear stuff on them. You know, ladies, when you put your hand lotion on, you are anointing your hands, okay? They would take this oil, and over various people, oil would be poured on them. Sounds kind of messy to me. You're going to find out that this oil had a fragrance to it. We're given the ingredients. In verse 24, it says, one of them is myrrh. Myrrh is made from, you take this tree called it's an Arabian tree called the Comiphora myrrha. You take its dried, its sap, and when you dry it up, it looks like this, and it's, you make the stuff called myrrh. It's used for different things in the Bible. It's used for this anointing oil. It's at times it is mixed with wine and it forms a drug. When Jesus was on the cross, they tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh as a drug to kind of soften it all. And Jesus said, no, I don't want to do this thing drugged up. I'm going to pay for your sins. I'm going to have a clear head through this. So he said no to it. In John chapter 19, myrrh is one of the ingredients that they used with the embalming when the body is starting to rot. Myrrh is kind of like a perfumey kind of a thing. So myrrh is in this thing. Cinnamon, the Hebrew word, I thought was kind of cool. The Hebrew word is kinnimon. So I don't know if we get our word cinnamon from the Hebrew or what. It looks like it. It says sweet smelling cane. That sounds like sugar to me. So you put this, to me it sounds like we're making a cinnamon toast, right? Does that make a fragrance come to your mind when I'm saying that? Okay, good. Because I don't have little scratch and sniff cards. You're going to have to make this up in your head with this stuff. Cassia, it mentions cassia. Cassia is kind of a broad category of trees, so I can't quite pin this all down. Some of it even includes what they call legumes, which is like peanuts and peas and stuff like that. So these things all put together. I'm going to do the video that reads through the entire passage, so let's follow along here.
Then the Lord said to Moses, collect choice spices, 12.5 pounds of pure myrrh, 6.25 pounds each of cinnamon and of sweet cane, 12.5 pounds of cassia, and 1 gallon of olive oil. Blend these ingredients into a holy anointing oil. Use this scented oil to anoint the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the large wash basin with its pedestal. Sanctify them to make them entirely holy. After this, whatever touches them will become holy. Use this oil also to anoint Aaron and his sons, sanctifying them so they can minister before me as priests. And say to the people of Israel, this will always be my holy anointing oil. It must never be poured on the body of an ordinary person, and you must never make any of it for yourselves. It is holy, and you must treat it as holy. Anyone who blends scented oil like it or puts any of it on someone who is not a priest will be cut off from the community.
So that's the holy anointing oil. It's what made people holy. It's what made the priests holy, because they have the anointing on them. Okay? Holy anointing oil. The Bible, sometimes when we talk about symbols in the Bible, sometimes I think people go a little overboard. You know, they come up with stuff that I kind of think, oh, you just made that up. And I think they did. I think some of this stuff's kind of stretching a little bit. But there are some things, some symbols in the Bible that are very clear, and oil is one of them. Oil is always a picture of the Holy Spirit. You see it, one of the ways you see it, places you see it, 1 Samuel 16, when the prophet Samuel came to find a new king, and he anointed David with oil. Little David pulled the kid off of out of work. He was out in the field with the sheep, and he anointed. He poured oil on him, and it says, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So you see this connection between the oil and the Holy Spirit. In fact, you know, if it's the oil that made them holy, what makes you holy? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That's why he's called. By the way, that's why his first name is Holy. Well, you know, I'm kind of kidding. It's not really his first name, but that's who he is. That's what he is. He is holy. So I want to pull out a couple. There's way more than this. I had to kind of limit it to what we had time for. I want to talk about some oil lessons. I want to get some lessons from this oil. And the first lesson I want to talk about is the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. If you notice, this thing was designed like a perfume. It was designed to give off a fragrance. And beloved, that's a great thing with the Holy Spirit. You know, fragrance isn't something that you see, but you know it's there, right? You know, there's some people in church, you know, some gals with a perfume, some guys with their cologne or their aftershave, and you give them a hug, and then you walk away and you go, ooh, what was that? Ooh, I smell good. It's nice. I don't mind, you know, some of those hugs. It's kind of nice, you know. You can tell it's invisible, but you can tell it's, are you with me with this? You get this? So it's kind of a cool thing that these things are connected. The oil, the perfume with the Holy Spirit. There is a fragrance, I think, to the Holy Spirit. There's a beauty to the work that God does in our lives. How many of you have been down to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa? Okay, so some of you, and I don't know, some of you are going to totally walk away and think this guy is really a crackpot, but to me, this has always been something I've. This is one of the things. This is a Costa Mesa thing. There's a smell there. Have you noticed it? It's a sweet smell when you walk into the place, and I often used to think, well, maybe it's just like. You know, they have a spray, a Costa Mesa spray or something like that. I just think it's got to be that, you know. For years, our guy who ran our junior high group, Drew Morehouse, who's now our missionary in Russia, for years he worked at Calvary of Costa Mesa as one of the janitors. And he even got promoted to be the head janitor of the church, over the church part. And I would meet with him once a week for our staff meeting. I drive down there and I meet with them. And one time I pinned him down on it. Because once he got the job of being in charge of the church and sanctuary, I was just curious. I was just dying to find out. What do they spray in this place? And his answer was, nothing. They don't spray anything in the place. It's just, that's just what you smell is what you get. And I know that all sounds goofy and it's all kind of, you know, hyper-spiritualizing. But I think to me, there's a real thing here. When the work of the Holy Spirit is going on, there is a real fragrance in the life of a person who is yielded to the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you can stop wearing deodorant. Okay? But you know what I'm talking about here? You know, I'm getting a little spiritual on you. But you know what I'm talking about? When you yield your life, when you say, God, I want you to do your work in me, there's just something different. When we're not walking under the anointing, sometimes our lives can be a bit stinky. A young pastor is making farewell visits to his congregation before moving on to another church, visiting a homebound member whom he had called on regularly. The pastor carefully explained why he was leaving. The woman sighed deeply and said, "Well, we'll never have another minister as good as you've been." The young man blushed and scuffed his feet on the floor, and he said, "Oh, I'm sure your next pastor will be excellent." The woman shook her head with determination. "No, you don't understand," she said. "I've been here through 5 pastors, and each one's been worse than the last one." Oh, okay. A little stinky. You know, it's not about a title, being a pastor that makes you smell right. It's walking under the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit work in your life. To me, I think that's what's the Holy Spirit stuff all about? I think, here's one of my words, this is one of my theory words. It's about yielding. Am I willing to yield? Am I willing to put my plans, my ideas aside and say, okay, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life? I think that's a good handle that I have on, for me, on learning to walk in the Holy Spirit. It's not about my agenda. It's about letting God work. And when I do that, there's a fragrance there. There's a fragrance in my life. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 2, he says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things?" When other people are learning to yield to the Holy Spirit, you know what? You're going to smell sweet to them. They're going to recognize it. There will be some people that, whether you like it or not, they don't like the perfume. They don't like the perfume that you're wearing. And even when you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, you stink to them. Why? Because you smell a lot like that Spirit of God that's been bringing conviction on their heart. You know, and there's nothing you can do about it. You don't want to change perfume. Don't change perfume. No, you want to keep yielding to the Lord. But there is this fragrance about us. I hope we smell correctly. Fragrance of the Holy Spirit. Second lesson from this passage, everything gets oiled. Everything gets oiled. Everything got anointed. Did you see that in the thing? It listed all the things that did. We're going to anoint the tent. And we're going to anoint the bronze altar. We're going to anoint the laver. I mean, they anointed the sink, for Pete's sake. We're going to anoint the candlestick. We're going to anoint the table with the bread in it. And we're going to anoint the Ark of the Covenant. You know, even the priests, they get a little stinky, so we'll put oil on them. You know, everything gets oiled. Everything gets oiled. God wants the work of the Spirit involved in all that we do. What's kind of sad, though, is that the Holy Spirit kind of has a bad rap among some of us. Some of us are a little bit reluctant when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's because of that name that he's got. You know, in the King James, he's called the Holy Ghost. I remember as a kid hearing that growing up in the Methodist Church, the Holy Ghost. Oh, man, that's scary. You know, is it like Casper, the friendly ghost? You know, what is this thing, the Holy Ghost? Bad choice of words in our language. Don't think Halloween when you think about the Holy Ghost. For some of us, we're a little reluctant to the things of the Spirit because we think that the Holy Spirit makes people weird. Makes people really weird because we've seen some of those Holy Ghost people. They're holy rollers or whatever we might want to call them. And I don't want the Holy Spirit to make me weird. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You call that weird? That's what I want. The weirdness, God bless them. That's okay. But I think they were probably weird to begin with. Okay? It's okay. God love them. God love them. But make sure that you understand what the Holy Spirit's all about. Don't run from the Holy Spirit. Let everything get oiled with the Holy Spirit. I think a practical way that happens, there's nothing that we do in ministry that shouldn't be without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, God is Spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants the oil on everything that you do. I think a practical way is that we ought to take time to pray for stuff. You know, we do before we start the service, you know, we'll usually gather. Some of you peek through the door and what that circle of people in there is because we're praying for the service. We just want to make sure we're desperate because we know that we are a bunch of bozos standing up here in front of you. And some of you haven't figured that out yet, you know, that we're just a bunch of bozos, you know. Hey, we are all a bunch of bozos. We're all bozos. My pastor used to say we're all bozos on the same bus. You know, we're all the same. We need God's work. And so we'll pray. But you know what? It's not just the guy up front that's preaching that needs to pray. Everything needs to be in prayer. Do you think the people that stand in the back as ushers and that greet people when they come through the door, do you think they need the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Oh, don't you know? If they're stinky when people come through the door, ooh, what's that smell? First thing I get to know about this church, there's a stink in this church. Oh, no, they need, and you know what? God has blessed us with wonderful men and women who do have a beautiful fragrance about them. Whether you're cleaning toilets, vacuuming rugs, teaching in the children's ministry, it all needs to be the work of the Spirit. God wants everything to be oiled. Another lesson. Don't imitate the Spirit. Do you notice there's a little phrase at the end? Don't go making this for yourself. Maybe you like the smell of this, but don't use it as the deodorizer in your bathroom. You know, we got a dead rat in the house. We got to cover up the smell with something, you know. So I'll go mix up that special magic potion thing, you know. Sometimes we copy for the wrong reasons. It's not uncommon for people to see what the Spirit is doing and try to conjure up some way of packaging it and duplicating it in some way. In Acts chapter 8, there was a magician named Simon who saw what was happening when Peter and John laid hands on people and people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this guy thought, wow, this is like the best trick of all. I've never seen this trick before. How do you do this? And it says, and Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money, saying, well, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. I get concerned with things when things are abused to create an emotional, a pseudo-spiritual response in people, when people manipulate people, it bothers me. There's a story about a traveling evangelist. He always put on a great grand finale at his revival meetings. When he was to preach at a church, he would secretly hire a small boy to sit in the ceiling rafters with a dove in a cave. Toward the end, a dove in a cage, not a cave. sorry. Toward the end of his sermon, the preacher would shout for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost to come down, and the boy in the rafters would dutifully release the dove. At one revival meeting, however, nothing happened when the preacher called for the Holy Spirit to descend. He again raised his arms and exclaimed, "Come down, Holy Spirit!" Still no sign of the dove. The preacher then heard the anxious voice of the little boy call down from the rafter, "Sir, a yellow cat just ate the Holy Spirit. Shall I throw down the cat?" Years ago, when Johnny Carson was hosting the Tonight Show, he had a guest on named James Randi. This fellow is a skeptic. He's a magician in his own right. And he's made it his calling in life to expose frauds, people who claim to have supernatural powers. And he will investigate them because he's a magician. He knows how tricks are done. One of his investigations, this was back in the 80s when this happened, was a televangelist named Peter Popoff. He attended one of Mr. Popoff's crusades with a radio scanner. This is the Tonight Show clip.
All right, this is the tape. As you would see it if you were watching the show. Okay, watch the monitors.
Who is Harold? I just believe that God is going to burn those cataracts off of your eyes right now. 34788 Foothill Drive. I tell you, the angels of God are round about your home. Just take those glasses off and put your eyes. If you've got cataracts, if you've got glaucoma, I want you just to put your hand over your eyes as I pray for these precious ones. Sister, you've got eye problems too. Take your glasses off. Lay your hands on your eyes. Here it comes. Now God is going to give these precious ones divine surgery. Right now, Jesus. That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I tell you, the anointing is flowing through this place. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, now let's recap what we've seen here. These two people who were there had not met Papa
That's
before
right.
themselves. And yet he calls out his name, and then he calls out a number or something.
He called out their address. And they're astonished to hear this, because they didn't tell him. But what you don't know is that his wife has been turning around the audience, getting into conversation. Is Jesus going to heal you today? I see. Where do you live? This kind of thing. And they've filled out healing cards in advance of the program and handed them in. They're now backstage, and someone is sitting at a transmitter backstage. Let's see that same segment again. But now you will have the advantage of knowing what Peter Popoff is hearing in his left ear through a hearing aid.
Jerry Reed.
Is it Reed? Jerry Reed?
It's a woman. She's praying for her husband, Harold.
Who is Harold?
He's got cataracts.
I just believe that God is going to burn those cataracts off of your eyes right now.
Visit 34788 Foothill Drive.
34788 Foothill Drive. I tell you, the angels of God are round about your home. Just take those glasses off and put your eyes. If you've got cataracts,
she's got eye problems too.
If you've got glaucoma, I want you just to put your hand over your eyes as I pray for these precious ones. Sister, you've got eye problems too. Take your glasses off. Lay your hands on your eyes. Here it comes. Now God is going to give these precious ones divine surgery. Right now, Jesus.
Now, that is, that's disturbing when you see it.
It is indeed.
You tend to laugh at it, and yet these people obviously are so impressed with what's going on.
Oh, they're absolutely impressed. You see people collapsing on the floor, tears running down their faces, believing that their kids with drug addiction are going to be healed now because he knew their name. He says he's talking to God, that God speaks directly to him because he's an anointed minister. And three things amaze me about that. First of all, it turns out that God's frequency, I didn't know he used radio, is 39.170 megahertz. And God is a woman, obviously, and sounds exactly like Papa's wife, Elizabeth.
Popoff claimed to have an anointing. That's what he's talking about, the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that kind of make you sick? Well, let me ask you this. Does this mean that God doesn't heal? No, not at all. Does this mean that God can't speak to people and give them information about things that they don't know any other way? No, it doesn't. But see, things like this do great damage to the real thing. And so God warns the priest, he warns Moses. He says, don't make this stuff for yourself. Don't go making this stuff up. God wants the real thing. God wants people. People are desperate for the real thing. You know, some people would say, well, you know, people are just suckers and they just need something to believe in, so we're just giving them something to believe in. You know, that stinks. That stinks. Give them the right thing to believe in. God wants us to be real people. He needs us to be examples of what He's really doing in our lives. You know, one of the dangers of when you come to church, if you've been at church for a while, after a while, you know, it's fine. It's easy to come to church when you're walking with the Lord and you're doing what you're supposed to do. But when you've stumbled during the week and you've done something really stupid and you come to church, what's the temptation? Well, and how are you doing today, brother? Oh, just fine. Praise the Lord. Got the Holy Ghost, I do. You know, and what do? We start being fakes. We start being phonies. And people start thinking that the phony thing is God. And it's not. Shame on us. You know, if you're struggling, be real about it. Be struggling. And then when you're not struggling, and God's at work, then people see the real thing. Not the phony baloney. Are you with me? Understand what I'm saying? Don't imitate the Spirit. Let it be real. I think sometimes we just don't want to do the hard things like learning to pray every day, to spend time with God every day, to spend time in His Word every day. We don't want to do that stuff. We want the easy, quick fix. You know, I want somebody to go, be healed, and then I fall over and my life is changed. And it isn't. Don't misunderstand me. Yes, God can do things like that. But beloved, let's be real Christians. Be the real thing. So when people see God at work, they're seeing God at work. Amen? Thank you. Amen. Let's look at the incense. Verses 34 to 38. Now we mentioned at the beginning of Exodus 30, when we talked about this altar of incense, that incense in the Bible is a very clear, another clear picture. Incense is a picture of prayer. As the smoke of the burning incense rises upward, it's supposed to be a picture of our prayers rising to heaven. In Revelation 5:8, is one of the many places where it says, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And so this thing, this incense that they would burn a morning and evening, twice a day, every morning and every evening, was supposed to be a picture of prayer. And in fact, we see in the Scriptures places where things happened at the hour of prayer. You'll see that in the New Testament. I'll just whet your appetite as you're looking for that. Things happened at the hour of prayer. It happened to be, just coincidentally, when the priest would go in to offer the incense. Incense and prayer, they're equivalent. It's supposed to be a picture. Doesn't mean that you have to have incense to pray. No. We're talking about a picture here. We're trying to learn from the picture. Verse 34. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte and onycha and galbanamanamanen. I think that's how you pronounce it. And frankincense, pure frankincense, with these sweet spices, there shall be equal amounts of each. Now, I did a little work on this stuff. What are these things? Stacte. It's made out of a kind of a gum stuff. It's bluish. It's baked and then it's used for incense and for fumigating. That doesn't sound very pleasant. Onycha, the Hebrew word shekeleth, it comes from, they take a shell from a certain shellfish and they grind it up. And that's where they get the stuff called onycha. Galbanum, the bitter resin from the bark of the ferula tree in Arabia, mixed with fragrant substances to make the smell even sharper. So this stuff is a bitter smell. I thought it was interesting, too, how many of these ingredients are from Arabia. Did you, I don't know if you picked up on that. Why do all the stuff from Arabia? Where are they? They're in Arabia right now. Right. So it's not it wasn't a trick question. It really wasn't a trick question. Okay, so galbanum, and then frankincense. You know that. That's the Christmas thing, you know, frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It comes from a dried white resin from the Arabian plant Boswellia. And that's where the frankincense comes from. So you take this stuff, and we're making the incense, and you make this stuff up. Verse 35, you shall make these an incense, a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, and holy. Alfred Edersheim, who is a Jewish Christian scholar, knows everything Jewish. Some great books. Here's what he writes. The incense burned on this altar was prepared of the four ingredients mentioned in Exodus 30, with which, according to the rabbis, seven others were mixed, besides a small quantity of ambra, he calls it. That's amber from Jordan. And of a herb which gave out dense smoke. So to these 13 substances, salt was, of course, added. The mode of preparing the incense had been preserved in the family of Aptinus. There was a special family among the Jewish priests, and that was their job, was to make this incense. And in fact, they kept it a family secret. I mean, you can read about, that's a whole other story, where they decided they were up for free agency, and they wanted to renew their contract, and they wanted to get a lot of money, and they got kicked out, and that's a whole other story. Anyway, this family kept this secret, and this family is still around, and these folks still know how to make this stuff. And what made their incense unique was that they knew the secret ingredient and the secret way to formulate this stuff, so that when the incense burned, the smoke rose straight up, it would hit the roof of the temple or the tabernacle and spread out and then fill the place. It wasn't just big poofy stuff. It was these straight lines, which was, again, a better picture of prayer. This family, the greatest care was taken to have the incense thoroughly bruised and mixed. Altogether, 368 pounds were made for the year's consumption, about a half a pound being used every morning and evening in the service. So don't think of these just little sticks of incense. Out of a half a pound of incense was burned every morning and every evening. Verse 36, you shall beat some of it very fine, put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, where I will meet with you, it shall be most holy. So it was burned at this altar of incense here inside of the tabernacle. That's where the place, that's where the stuff was burned. Verse 37, but as for the incense which you shall make, you shall not make any for yourselves according to its composition. It shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. Okay, a couple of quick lessons here on incense. A couple of incense lessons. Number one, follow the recipe. There's a recipe here. He gives you the ingredients. And we ought to learn that there's a recipe to prayer. There's value in learning to pray as the scriptures teach us how to pray. Learning the proportions. And there's actually more than a few recipes on prayer in Scripture. You know one of them. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Come on, turn in your Bibles. Let me hear the pages flip. Let me hear the pages turn. Matthew chapter 6. You know this recipe. You'll recognize it as soon as we get there. Matthew 6. We did this one at your dad's funeral. Yep, we did. Matthew 6, verse 9. Here's one recipe. Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. He's telling the disciples how to pray. Our Father in heaven. There's one of the ingredients. Our Father in heaven. He's addressing somebody in prayer. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Your name is holy. Now, some people think that they say, what's God's name? And somebody thought his name was Howard. Howard be thy name. Somebody told me this morning that they thought his name was Andy. Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy tells me that... No. Sorry. God's name is holy. I think one of the ingredients here is the fear of the Lord. When I understand that God is holy, He's different, He's pure, He ain't like me. And here I am in His presence. There's a little sense here. It's one of the ingredients of the fear of the Lord. It says, let's skip down to where it says, verse 10, your will be done. Thy will be done. I would call that ingredients of submission. Prayer is not about me convincing God to do something. Prayer is about me learning to pray for what God wants to do. Prayer is about me learning to submit myself to the Father. Skip down to where he says, give us this day our daily bread. I'd call that the ingredient of personal needs. Some people have the mistaken idea that I shouldn't pray for myself. That's not a good thing to do. It's not a Christian thing. It's too selfish to pray for yourself. And I got news for you. If you don't pray for you, who else is? You make sure that you pray for yourself every day. If it makes you feel better, pray for yourself at the end of your prayer time. That's good. That's okay. But you need to pray for yourself. One of the things I'm learning to do in my personal prayer time is that as I'm reading through the scriptures, as I'm spending time with the Lord, from time to time, something pops out and I get very convicted. Like, I don't really get this thing. You know, I don't really get this humility thing. Frankly, I just love all the attention I can get. I love that. I love everybody to think that I'm Mr. Hot Stuff, you know. And so, I'm learning that when I come across things like that, and I keep hitting it over and over, and it doesn't go away, I'll stick it on my prayer list. So I've got about 10, 15 things. And I'm not going to tell you what they all are, otherwise you'd know what all my faults are. Ain't going to go there, sorry. I'm perfect.
I walk with God.
No. Pray for yourself. Give us this day our daily bread. Pray for what you know that God wants to do in your life. He says, forgive us our debts. Forgiveness ought to be part. It's one of the ingredients of prayer. Man says, do not lead us into temptation. You could talk about protection from evil, about staying away from sin. That ought to be part of your prayer. At the end, he says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I call that worship. I would call that ingredient worship. Sometimes all I do is my time with God is all about gimme, 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 gimme. I want this, I want that, I want this and that, and this and that. And I got my big long list of things I want, and I hardly ever say thank you. Hardly ever tell Him that I love Him, that I adore Him. I think He's awesome. That really probably ought to be a part of my prayer. Get the recipe right. Learn the recipe. Learn to pray. There's recipe, there's ingredients to prayer. Another incense lesson is this. Don't misuse prayer. I don't know if you picked that up again. He's just like with the anointing oil. He says, don't use this for yourself. This isn't like the incense that you burn in your bathroom when it gets really stinky. Don't use that. This incense has a specific purpose. Don't misuse prayer. Sometimes we don't quite get what prayer is all about. During a blistering hot day, a family was entertaining guests for dinner. When they were all seated, the man of the house turned to his 6-year-old son and asked him to say the blessing. But Daddy, I don't know what to say, he protested. Oh, just say what you've heard me say, the mother chimed in. Obediently, he bowed his little head and said, Oh Lord, why did I invite these people here on a hot day like this? Well, sometimes you don't quite get what prayer is all about. Sometimes incense can be misused to make us smell better and to try to impress other people. Sometimes I use incense to try to cover the fact that I'm a little stinky. People use imitation prayers to impress people. Imitation prayers to impress people. That's what they did in Jesus' day. In Mark chapter 12, verse 38, it says, Then he said to them in his teaching, Beware of the scribes who who desire to go in long robes, love greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in the synagogues, the best places at the feast, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these will receive greater condemnation. See, sometimes we can misuse prayer, especially when we're in a group. You know, we've got this really cool thing. It's kind of a secret. So don't, like everybody, show up tonight. Okay? Don't show up to tonight, because it's a very cool thing that we do on Sunday nights. We call it Refresh. And we set up about 10, 15 chairs, and we sit in a circle. And Dave leads us, and we do a lot of worship, a lot of guitar playing. We sing a lot to the Lord. We will share what God's been teaching us during the week. And we will pray for each other. We will share prayer requests. We will lay hands on people. We will anoint people with oil. And the danger when you're in a group like that, if you haven't figured it out yet, the danger is sometimes when you're praying in a group, you want people to think that you're pretty darn awesome. And that you are a Holy Ghost Christian. Yes, amen. And I shall parade tonight. Dear Lordest, I-est, am-est, coming-est to you-est. And my king's bestest, king's-est, James-est, English-est. You know, and sometimes we do that in prayer. What are we doing? We're trying to impress people. We're lighting incense because we're a little bit stinky. We don't want people to know how stinky we are. That's a misuse of prayer. Don't use your prayers to impress people. God is not impressed with how long your prayers are. God's impressed with your heart. And anybody's got a heart that walks in the door. God's looking for your heart, not the fancy words, not the length of your prayers. God's looking for your heart. Our prayers aren't supposed to impress the other people in the circle. Our prayers are supposed to impress God. My prayers aren't supposed to touch this other person. My prayer is to touch God. That's what prayer is all about, beloved. So don't misuse it. Make sure that we learn what it's for. It's for God. It's me coming to the King of the universe and ask Him for help. You know, it's not me trying... Well, I've said enough on that. Okay, don't misuse prayer. Last lesson. The fragrance of prayer. We talked about the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. There's a fragrance in prayer as well. It talks about making this as the art of the perfumer. There's a fragrance in prayer. Problem is that sometimes when you use the wrong ingredients, prayer stinks. You think you got a tough job. Look at Luke chapter 18. Everybody turn to Luke chapter 18, last passage. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Jesus gives a beautiful example of a great smelling prayer and a stinky smelling prayer. See if you can figure out which is which. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. It says, Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Pharisees are like you. Sorry, that's the truth. Pharisees are church people. Pharisees are people that hang out at church all the time. That's sorry to say, sad to report. If we're to identify with anybody in the New Testament, it's with the Pharisees. We are so much like the Pharisees. It's scary. The tax collector was the jerk who never goes to church. The guy who everybody hates. The guy who's out ripping people off. The big, bad, ugly sinner. So these two guys go to the temple. The Pharisee stood like this. And prayed thus with himself. I just like, who are you talking to? He's talking to himself. And he says,
God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.
And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Prayers mixed with pride stinketh. They stink. Prayers that come from a heart of humility, I would even say a heart of brokenness, are the ones that smell the best to God. I found it interesting that when I looked at all these ingredients, it seemed like one of the things that was strange, like this one didn't fit, this galbanum thing. It was the bitter resin from the bark of the ferula mixed with fragrant substances to make the smell even sharper. Well, the other one was like a fumigation thing or something. That's not what I want in my incense. I want really pretty stuff. You know, I want the cinnamon toast stuff. And yet, some of the ingredients in this sweet incense, this sweet-smelling incense, were bitter things. Could it be that one of the ingredients in prayer sometimes is bitterness? When you mix it properly, the incense is still a beautiful fragrance to the Lord. God is looking for honesty. God is looking for humility. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit." Psalm 51:17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." You know, it's kind of funny because sometimes when our hearts are broken, we feel like God is so far from us, don't we? And I got news for you. He's probably closer than he's ever been. When prayer contains the proper ingredients, it's a beautiful fragrance to God. Psalm 141:2, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Let's stand and pray.